This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason with your host, John Rush. Presented by High Five Plumbing, where every call ends with a high five.
All right, welcome everybody. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Happy Thursday. We've got Steve House. Dr. Kelly Victory will be joining us here shortly. Steve, welcome. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, man. You know, I tried to talk Charlie into taking Kelly's place for the first 6 minutes of the show or 10 minutes, and he just wasn't buying it.
He said no.
He doesn't think he has anything to say. I'm like, that's not true. I'm sure it's not true.
It's never true. He always says, he just talks in my ear. It's like Snerdly. You guys don't hear him, but he talks in my ear. We have a nice young lady on his side of the glass today as well, Lexi, that's watching us at the moment as well. So welcome to Lexi as well. And Dr. Kelly, again, will be joining us here momentarily. Steve, I should start off with just, and again, this is a little bit off topic. I'll get Kelly involved in this in a little bit as well. But what are your feelings on the eclipse? Will it be the end of the world? I'll start there.
No, I don't believe it'll be the end of the world. I know some people, myself included, have wondered if, wouldn't that be the perfect time for an EMP?
Yeah.
Where it's dark and then the sun comes out and there's
good
no
point.
Lights back on, right?
But good point. Yeah, I kind of with you, though. I just don't. A lot of hubbub around it and different things. Now, I will dovetail into this when Dr. Kelly joins us as well. I will say this, Steve, that it, along with a lot of other conspiracies, I will say I do believe that most of them have come from the fact that people just continue to have, because of COVID and the things that you and I and Dr. Kelly talk about weekly, because of the distrust of government, they are spawning more and more of these particular types of theories.
You mean like when a boat hits a bridge and
yep.
you see videos of it backing up and ramming into it a few times and all kinds of different theories about it. By the way, on the eclipse, you know, I would be more concerned about when the sun came out from behind the moon than during the eclipse itself, because, you know, we've clearly, the northern lights phenomenon is going on, the
right.
issues with the solar storms. I mean, there's that kind of stuff happening right now. I mean, yeah, it's a pretty intense period of solar stuff. So
you are correct.
Who knows? We can see all kinds of strange things happen.
All right, with that, we're going to give Dr. Kelly a little bit of time to call us. I'll take our break early that way. Steve, hang tight. Those of you listening, you can text us questions. Dr. Kelly will be with us here momentarily. 307-200-8222 is our number, our text line, 307-200-8222. Any questions you've got for Dr. Kelly, we'll get that answered here momentarily. Affordable Interest Mortgage is up next, though. They'll help you with whatever mortgage question you have, and Kurt, by the way, great friend of mine, he will help you even with raising your credit score. Start early, not late. Give him a call today. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500.
Are you waiting for rates to go down? Are all of your monthly payments too much? No room for taxes or insurance increases? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Do you have rates in the threes and fours on your mortgage? We can help you lower your total monthly payments by $700 to $1,200 a month. Money saved is money earned. 720-895-0500, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Have you purchased a home in the last 2 years? With rates down 1% to 1.5%, start saving hundreds now. Take AIM and let our experience save you money. 720-895-0500. Have you taken out an FHA or VA loan? With rates dropping, they offer a streamlined loan that requires no income verification, no increase in current payoff, no appraisal required, and payments $250 to $400 a month lower. And you may also be able to skip two payments. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. We have been saving homeowners thousands since 2001. It's like giving yourself a raise. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. NMLS 217147, regulated by DORA, equal credit lender.
All right, Dr. Scott Faulkner, if you're looking for a doctor that thinks exactly the way we do here on Thursdays with Dr. Kelly, look no further. Call Dr. Scott today, 303-663-6990.
Do you want to improve your health, fitness, and beauty? Are you an athlete recovering from an injury? A weekend warrior who is sore from your last workout? Do you have a chronic medical condition trying to meet a health and wellness goal? Or maybe you are looking for a great doctor who thinks the way you do. Dr. Scott Faulkner and Castle Rock Regenerative Healthcare is your path to a healthier tomorrow. Owner Dr. Scott is a board-certified internal medicine specialist, bringing decades of experience and expertise to the table. Dr. Scott is a true advocate of the latest advancements in healthcare. That's why he uses umbilical-derived stem cells, which have been clinically proven to be the most potent stem cells available. Worried about being lost in the crowd of impersonal healthcare? Fear not. Dr. Scott is a big picture doctor, not beholden to big pharma like some other providers. He takes the time to understand your unique needs and will customize your healthcare to fit you, your body, and your lifestyle. Reach your full potential and achieve your goals. Call Dr. Scott today at 303-663-6990 or visit him online at CastleRockRegenerativeHealth.com or find him at RushToReason.com.
Level Engineering, Alan Davis. You heard his program, by the way, right before we came on here on Thursdays. If you've got a question on solar with your particular situation, your home, give Alan a call today. Find him at KLZRadio.com.
Alan Davis with Level Engineering knows how much you despise cleaning your bathroom, but having that toilet brush in your hand actually might be more fun than opening up your electrical bill every month. You keep seeing constant rate increases, and those costs keep going up and up. We can't rescue you from cleaning the bathroom, but we can tell you that Alan Davis with Level Engineering will help you assess whether solar is right for you and your family. With electricity rates going up several times a year, and most households already paying up to 85% more in the last 3 years, just think about the money you'll be spending on electricity over the life of your home. That could be hundreds of thousands of dollars instead of getting solar now with Alan Davis and Level Engineering. What you save over the years and the tax credit could mean tens of thousands of dollars back in your pocket and a meaningful tax credit today. We can't save you from housework, but we can help you save money. Call Alan Davis today, 303-378-7537, or email him at adavis@levelengineering.com.
All right, Roof Savers Colorado, Dave Hart. Talked to Dave a little earlier today, by the way, and he's got some exciting things going on in his business. But if you need somebody to help you with either your commercial roof, could be a flat roof, pitched roof, doesn't matter, any type of residential roof, you name it, Dave can do it all. He can repair, replace, extend the life of, and he'll work with your insurance company if needed as well. 303-710-6916.
Everywhere, new life is bursting forth, from budding trees to the blossoming flowers. So why not give your roof new life too? Hi, I'm Elizabeth Hart.
And I'm Madison Hart. We want to tell you how our RoofMax Rejuvenation Treatment can add up to 15 years of life to your existing roof without spending thousands on a replacement. RoofMax is a 100% plant-based, bio-friendly product that rehydrates dry and minorly damaged shingles.
And it gets better. When you restore your roof with RoofMax, you help find a forever home for a child waiting in foster care. RoofMax has set a goal to help find forever families for 25,000 children waiting in foster care by 2030 through the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption. Are you ready to rejuvenate your roof and help provide a child with the home they deserve? Call our dad, Dave Hart, with Roof Savers Colorado at 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com.
Call today at 303-710-6916 or go to roofsaversco.com to see if your roof qualifies for the treatment.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, we're back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Steve House with us. Dr. Kelly should be joining us shortly. Keep sending us your text messages. I'll get those answered when Dr. Kelly joins us, and you can do that, 307-200-8222, 307-200-8222. Steve, back to And again, I could ask Dr. Kelly this as well, but you're an expert in this particular area, I think, as well. And for those of you listening, Steve's got a lot of extensive experience in the whole medical world. Dr. Kelly Victory, there's an entire page dedicated to her on our website, rushtoreason.com, where you can go find her and all the different things we've done literally now, Steve, for almost four solid years. But when we talk about, you know, conspiracy theories and things that happen, whether it's the eclipse, whether it's the ship, whether it's things relating to what you and I have talked about here for really 4 years now, how do people wade through things to determine what's right versus what's not?
I think it's like, you know, I think I told you once I was a jury foreman on a murder case. I think what you're looking for is motive. You know, like if you can find motive, right? I mean, there's lots of things about the ship thing that you can find motive. I mean, it's the second largest port in the United States. All the automobile traffic goes through there. If somebody wanted to take down, you know, some of the U.S. economy and the industries associated with it, that wouldn't be a bad way to do it, because you basically put a bridge in the water that's going to block traffic out of that port for months, probably.
Although I would do it further down and block all of it if I were going to do it, not the one that's the uppermost.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, I think it depends on what you have access to and, you know, what you're willing to do. So, you know, was that actually a terrorist act? I don't know.
I don't either.
If I was going to do one, though, this wouldn't be a bad place to put one. If you were going to do it, because of the impact it has on commerce, especially for all those companies. There's a bunch of companies, by the way, that would deliver there and now cannot deliver there. So they will, their goods will be delivered from ocean liners to other ports, and they'll have to go to another port and get it.
Right.
I mean,
and I talked to a guy that lives back there yesterday. The plus side to that is, actually our financial guy we have on Thursdays, the plus side is they can get that other lower port that they don't have to go through that bridge area to access up and running fairly quickly. So that's the, again, if somebody was thinking motive, maybe, Steve, but I don't think they thought through it very well if that's the case.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not lost on a lot of people that in the movie Leave the World Behind, there was a cargo ship that ran aground on a
right.
beach because, you know, navigation was disabled because of cyber attacks. And we have a similar kind of ship when this happens too. Plus, you have to ask the question. I mean, forget about conspiracy. I mean, there were tugboats in the area when this thing was obviously having problems. It didn't happen in just a minute. It happened over a period of, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Why didn't they go out and push the thing out of the way?
And I think those are, as always, those are the things that, you know, folks will have to get answers on. And like anything else, you always wonder where you get the exact answers. The one thing I did say yesterday that you can talk about, Steve, that I will guarantee you will happen when this is all said and done. The Biden administration's already talked about, Joe Biden himself, that, oh yeah, we'll replace that bridge, meaning you and I as taxpayers will replace that bridge. And I will tell you this, Steve, the one thing I can guarantee you is they will tack on as many other pet projects as they possibly can, because Congress never spends money on one thing and one thing alone.
Yeah, I know. It'll be a $600 million bridge and a $1.5 billion bill.
Or more.
And they'll be studying the impact of racism and ESG and
right.
all those things on an actual, impact just because of the bridge and what goes on over that bridge. I mean, it's just crazy, John.
No, I agree. Now, when it comes to things that we've talked about for several years regarding, you know, COVID, the shots, all the different things that are going on around all of that. And you know, we've done this now, again, for almost 4 years, and we've been, I hope anyway, Steve, a pretty good source of advice and information for a lot of the folks that are listening. We've put things up on our website along those lines. Now, I think a lot of folks would even ask us, how do you guys find this information to where you know it's coming from credible sources and you know exactly what's going on versus what mass media is saying?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, Kelly is a doctor, so he's always involved in medical stuff. I'm not a doctor, but I'm also involved in the medical stuff. But there's another set of things. I mean, I spent some time in politics, and I have connections. I have a weekly call with the American Security Project, for example, and other folks like that who kind of just keep me informed on what they're seeing and what they think is happening out in the world. They also think they probably are the best guys out there to talk about threats.
Mm.
And, you know, what is a threat? I mean, is a cyber security attack a greater threat than an EMP? Depends.
I mean, yeah, that's a great
there.
Question. Yeah, no. And by the way, that's a great answer, because I've read all sorts of different, you know, whether it be a novel, whether, you know, fiction or other things along those lines, Steve. Yeah, really, that really comes down to it depends. Depends on how they initiate attack. When do they initiate an attack? In other words, on the cyber security side versus EMP. I will tell you, Steve, that I'm not so sure that depending upon how it's done, that one's worse than another. They're both hard.
they're both hard because a cybersecurity attack, you may not lose your cell phone in terms of it may not be electronically gone, you know, from a technology point of view.
But it's not working.
Useful, right? It may not be useful. Plus, the hard part about the way society is, we order so many things through e-commerce.
Correct.
That once you shut down e-commerce,
right,
you know, asking people how to get food, I mean, they may not even know how to get food. So there's all kinds of potential threats out there. The question is, what will happen when one of them happens? I really believe on the horizon somewhere we're going to see something happen in one of those categories.
I read a novel not long ago where the cybersecurity attack was on the cell structure like you're talking about. On top of that, they only took out about, I believe, the top nine in this particular novel. It's the top nine food distribution chains in America, which, by the way, that covers probably 80% of food distribution across the country. When you take out just those nine, people don't think realize how susceptible we really are. So in this particular case, the Russians and Chinese got together. This is a novel, of course, but they took out those nine distribution centers and the chain that goes along with that through the cybersecurity attack end of things. And of course, that, Steve, just ballooned into all sorts of other things. And you take food away from the American populace, and I'll tell you what, it is bedlam in the not too distant future.
Well, yeah, your 3-3-3 rule, right?
I mean, right.
It's one of those things too, where if you did actually lose food distribution, most people wouldn't have any idea what to do.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
They'd go to a store, and they would try to buy stuff. I mean, if you lost the ability to use money. You know, like if the dollar was...
Oh, hey, you know, hang on really quick. I forgot. In this novel, they took out the credit processing end of things as well. So they took out sell, they took out food distribution, and at the same time took out the credit card processing. So again, yeah, Steve, take those three out. Where are we at as a country?
Well, I mean, in the 1 second after, which I think was modeled after the possibility, 90% of people die within 9 months because... They can't feed themselves. You don't have good food and water. Think about this bridge for a minute. This bridge is going to take a long time to get fixed.
Correct.
So if you had EMP type stuff or cybersecurity stuff that took down a network, how long would it take to rebuild it? The answer is a long time.
Well, people would
be lost.
Depending upon what type of infrastructure is taken out and the ability to even start back up and rebuild, in some cases, Steve, it could take you another decades, several decades to even bring things back online. Because while we know what to do to build things, if you don't have the resources necessary to build it in the first place, and you have to build the resources to build the additional resources, and you get where I'm going with this, it takes a long, long time. And I think people forget that we have built up to this place over literally the last 100 years or so, Steve. I mean, everything we have is built on top of something else, on top of something else, on top of something else. We didn't get here overnight, is my point.
Well, yeah, we started out, I mean, if you go back to the time of the founding, we started out with somewhere around 3 million people. Now we got 330 million people.
Right.
The reason why we have 330 million people living in this space is because we can support their basic needs for food, water,
correct,
air, sanitation, et cetera.
Correct.
The moment you remove food, water, air, sanitation, the population goes back to whatever can be supported by the infrastructure. You wipe out the infrastructure, John, lots and lots of people are going to be gone.
Yeah, the reality is because they've, you know, you can't blame, I mean, I don't know who to even blame, Steve. If you blame, you could blame yourself, you could blame your upbringing, you could blame all sorts of things. The reality is we have... I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say this, at least 80% of the populace, and I know there's a lot of folks out there that know how to hunt and fish and take care of themselves and so on, but let's face it, Steve, you're probably looking at a, you know, 70% of the population that if you took all of those basic needs away we just talked about, food, water, power, and so on, how do they survive? Well, they can't because they don't know how.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's talk about what you and I would do, right? If all that happened, right? If we had an absolute meltdown in cybersecurity or an EMP, the very first thing you and I are going to do is figure out where we're going to get water.
That's right.
We may have water stored, but you still have a pool, a bathtub. I mean, you're going to figure out. Not everybody's going to immediately have that instinct. In fact, I wanted to ask you a question because this was the debate the other day. If there were an electronic meltdown, let's say it was an EMP, and you're driving your car down the road at 60 miles an hour on a highway without power in your car, can you apply brakes?
Depends on the
brakes, electronic.
Yeah, it depends on the car. If it's all drive-by-wire, the answer would be no. Now, in some cases, some cars, if they shut down like that, most likely those systems would apply. The vehicle would come to a halt, and you'd be done. There's other vehicles, though, to your point, where depending upon what you lose and how you lose it, and or Steve, depending upon if that vehicle is "quote unquote" hacked and the cybersecurity is compromised on that, it all bets are off. It's a whole nother ballgame.
I know, and it's one of those things where someday, maybe when we get past some of the basic conversations we have regarding COVID, we should talk to people about if an EMP occurred, what would happen? What would you see? You know, what would occur, right? I mean, everybody's car shuts off. Your cell phone doesn't work. It becomes very quiet.
Yep.
You don't hear any noise at all because nothing is running anywhere, right?
Well, and not to be morbid, but on top of that, the only sounds you hear are the airplanes falling out of the sky, crashing into things as well. Don't forget that part.
Yeah, there will be that. I mean, you will see that. I mean, that's part of the deal. For some people, that might be an easier way to go than what they would face and not being able to deal with food and water and find their way through things. People on medications, I mean, if you're a diabetic and you need metformin, I mean, it's going to run out. I mean, there's just all kinds of potential problems with that. It's unfortunate. It's absolutely unfortunate. The first thing we thought about after that bridge collapse was somebody did it on purpose.
Right.
We've come that far.
Yeah, and that's my disappointment, I think, in where we're at. And that's not when I do blame on government. Because of the things they did through COVID, the amount of distrust that existed prior, and then all they did was pile on top of that, that because of that distrust, Steve, yes, the first thing that a lot of individuals, I'm not one of them, by the way, but a lot of individuals come right out and say, okay, what happened? What was the real cause here? I don't believe what's going to happen next. I mean, I don't care what they say. That thing happened on purpose. I mean, these are the sorts of things I'm seeing on social media. And, you know, me, I'm kind of one of those where it's like, well, you know, kind of let the chips fall a little bit. I'm going to talk to a few experts, by the way, when it comes to the maritime end of things and even people that have even run those sorts of ships and so on. And I want to know a little more info because I'm going to come before I come out and actually put something on social media. But that's me.
And that's the wise way to do it, right? I mean, I would tell people, rather than automatically ruling in a conspiracy, I just don't think you should rule something out until you've got a good explanation.
Agree.
Could it have been a conspiracy? Could it have been a cyber hack? It sure could have. Is there motive on the part of bad actors around the world to shut down a major port in the United States of America? Sure. Is there motive to stop I-95? From going south and force people to go around. Yeah, they all are impactful. So do I rule them out? No, until I hear better evidence of what actually happened. What did the captain do on the ship? Why did the lights come on and off? Was he trying to do? Isn't there safety systems? I mean, I think they dropped anchor, but at some point it appeared they tried to back that car up, or back that boat up, and they just never got it backed up.
Yeah, and again, all sorts of things that we won't know. I had a couple of guys call in yesterday that talked about the anchor thing, that the reality is that wouldn't have done anything, period. So it wouldn't have mattered one way or the other as far as, and again, guys that have been on those types of ships and so on. And for us here, luckily for me, Steve, and I guess the plus side that you know, I get to have sitting in this chair is all the vast array of knowledge and things that I get to hear from when something like this happens that, frankly, if I didn't have this position, you wouldn't hear.
I know. I want to know, by the way, when you ask the experts, if he had lights and power at times, why didn't he go to reverse thrusters and back the thing up?
Don't think it was, you know, what I'm hearing from people wasn't there long enough for that to happen. You could see where that was starting to happen at times with the smokestacks, but just wasn't there long enough to have a positive effect at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And again, the other thing you got to look at is who's the crew, how trained are they? I saw a video of a guy that's, you know, you don't know whether they're an expert on this or not, but his explanation was these are ships coming into port that frankly barely meet our safety specs, and they are run on a shoestring budget because of the actual way those things work and the amount of money that they generate. So at the end of the day, this guy's thinking anything's possible.
Yeah, so we had a bunch of rookies who, I mean, who's ever faced this exact scenario? I mean, you don't hear about this very often.
You do not, exactly.
Control of a ship.
All right, I'm going to shift gears because this came in since you and I chatted last week, and I thought if we had Dr. Kelly with us, we'd talk about it. She's not quite here yet, and those of you listening, she's doing her very best to join us. It may just be Steve and I, but we'll keep you abreast of that. But you and I have talked about this, so has Dr. Kelly, and I want to address it, you know, whether she's with us or not, Steve, and that is, why are, and this is an article, by the way, that even came out this past week in Vox, but I've had questions along these lines as well. Why are so many young people getting cancer?
Yeah, it's funny because I've read most of what I read this week was about increasing cancer, the number one cancer killer or number one death in men between 15 and 44 is now colorectal cancer.
Wow.
That's just not even a theory anyone would have espoused. Colorectal cancer, there's tumor-based cancers in women in their ovaries and reproductive organs that are happening in that same age group, and colorectal cancer. Those are just not cancers people get. So the theory is, and I think the 143,000% increase in cancer across the board.
Wow.
So when you're getting it in the young and you're getting that, in reality, a spike protein operating in your system does two big things that hurt you. One is it shuts down your immune system. It basically is setting your immune system to say, if a spike protein's present, I don't need to be operating the same as I used to, because it fools the system into thinking that it's in control and it's got it. So when your immune system shuts down and doesn't work hard, then when cells start to divide improperly, they just go crazy. The immune system, if you normally have cells that are dividing improperly, the immune system will go in there and kill them because it knows they're improper. That's not what's happening, and people are getting cancer.
It's almost like things, you know, it's almost like, Steve, that, and again, I've heard all of the different theories, even Dr. Kelly's talked about this, how inside of most, well, not inside of most, inside of everybody are cancer cells. It's how well does our immune system work at fighting them. It's why they tell you not to have refined sugars and all sorts of things. And even if you get cancer, they take you off of that immediately, which should tell you something. But bottom line, Steve, it seems to me like there's parts of our cells, if you would, of the structure of us as humans, that since the quote-unquote vaccine came out have been supercharged along this line. Now, is it every single person? No, it's not every person, but does it affect certain DNA types more so than others? Yeah, Steve, I believe it does. I think the data shows that.
Well, I think there's a couple factors. Certainly, if people have weaker immune system, they may not have enough vitamin D in their system, et cetera. But the other factor is, which vaccine did you get?
Right.
Because
right.
If you had problems, if you specifically had problems when you got the vaccine, you have much higher risk of having serious side effects after the fact.
Right. Absolutely.
So you have that. And it's not as much, I think for most, it's not as much as the fact that you have cancer, some more cancer cells running around by nature. It's the fact that if your immune system is weak, it doesn't kill the cancer cells. I mean,
right.
The day a baby's born, there's a billion cells there that all turned out right. It's amazing that it actually happens that way. But that's partly because you got a garbage man coming in and cleaning up the cells that are not dividing properly.
Very true.
To prevent them from getting cancer. The spike protein stops that in people's immune systems, and that's why they're getting cancer.
And yet we've got legislation that's, you know, trying to be pushed through that basically protects these types of manufacturers, if you would, of these particular types of products from any kind of basically giving them total immunity, which, Steve, we've never done that before.
No, in fact, it's even funny now that the CDC and the FDA have essentially said we were wrong on ivermectin. They've taken down every anti-ivermectin story or paper they had published on those sites. They're not there anymore because ivermectin proved to be a drug that could have saved a lot of lives.
Mm.
And they took them down. And I think that's malfeasance, and nobody's ever going to be held responsible for it. But man, John, when people don't trust the government, and yet they give people, the government, their money, and they expect the government to do a job, how are we ever going to have a society survive this?
Well, and I think, you know, some of this goes down to some of the basic principles of how we act and what we do as citizens. And for those of you listening, yeah, we just got a message from Dr. Kelly. She's still stuck on a plane, won't be able to join us. So, Steve, it's just you and I, which is fine. We'll just keep rolling along like we've been doing. But what I was going to get at, Steve, is when you have the attitude of, what's government going to do for me and how are they going to help me with my life versus what our founders wanted, by the way, the freedom to do what you need to do with your own life and take care of things accordingly. We've had this huge mental shift in a high, high majority. By the way, even some on the conservative side, Steve, basically saying, what's government going to do for me? Frankly, it should be the opposite. What am I going to do to keep government in check? I don't need them in my life.
Well, I mean, it's government's fundamental strategy these days, and not 100% of the people in government, but many of them, is to cause a problem, make you believe it was your fault,
yep,
and then come in and give you a solution for it. So in the case of the bridge, something happened, the government's going to step forward, Biden's going to raise his hand and say, hey, we're the government, we're going to solve the problem for you because that's what we do. That's not what the government's supposed to do. There's 18 enumerated powers. They're fairly straightforward and very simple. If you're going to do something other than those 18 enumerated powers, two things have to happen. One is I've got to give you permission to do it, and two is I got to fund it. Right now I'm not giving you permission, but you're forcing me to fund it. And it's just not right. We're all going to suffer as a result of that.
You know what? You're 1,000% correct. Okay, so question, given the fact that you've been around far more politicians even than I have, and I've interviewed several, not several, I don't know how many, hundreds over the past 10 years that I've been doing this program, and some of them starting out with you, by the way, and then, you know, going on into others and others and others. And I will say, and I say this all the time, and I mean this, Steve, why is it, and I'm not trying to be judgmental here, I'm just being very honest with how things work in Washington, why is it that it used to be, and there are some exceptions to what I'm saying, but, you know, it used to be your best and brightest went to represent you in Washington to handle things that you and I as citizens couldn't handle. Why has that reversed? Because I'll tell you, outside of people like you, the majority of politicians and or even candidates running, I'm sorry to say, are dumb as rocks.
Yeah, you know, it's motivation. Why are you trying to do it? I mean, the willingness to serve, if you go back to, you know, George Washington didn't really want to serve. If you go back to Lincoln and others, I mean, these were people who wanted to make a difference in the world. And there's plenty of people start out in politics like that, especially at the local level. But it becomes this really, really motivating thing to be in politics because of the money, the prestige, the way you get treated.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we've made it improper. It pays.
Don't you know
much.
Who I am?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you get that. There's 70 politicians in New York who have been arrested for, you know, profiteering off of politics the way they shouldn't have.
Right.
There's too much money in it. I mean, when it costs you $2 billion to run a presidential election, there's a whole bunch of people making money on that, John. And
true.
If that's still going to be the case, we'll never have the kind of purity we're looking for.
I cannot argue that. All right, up against a break. I do have a listener question we'll get to in just one moment. You can still ask Steve and I questions. We'll do our best to answer those, by the way. The one that we've got coming up, I believe he and I can answer as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hi-Fi Plumbing is next. $100 off your next visit. Give Hi-Fi a call today, 877-WE-HI-FIVE.
You'll soon be watering your lawn or washing your car, and Hi-Fi Plumbing can help you do it confidently. Through the winter, your exterior spigots and faucets may have frozen and thawed several times, which could mean trouble when you want to use them. Main water lines may have cracks that weren't noticeable until now. And if you're seeing lowered water pressure, standing water in your yard, or a high water bill, you need Hi-Fi to come out and to see what the issue is. Hi-Fi takes time to thoroughly inspect your concerns and uses cutting-edge tools, gauges, and technology to pinpoint the problem faster to get your plumbing back on track. Hi-Fi is also unique because they won't pressure you. If a problem is found, they'll give you a few options so that you can choose what works best for you. KLZ listeners, tell them that you heard them on Rush to Reason for an incredible $100 off a repair. Just go to klzradio.com/plumbing to find out more.
All right, Al Smith is next. Golden Eagle Financial, he's got a seminar coming up, our area campus, next Saturday the 6th, 9:30 to 11:30. Register today. Go to klzradio.com.
You need Golden Eagle Financial to maximize your retirement in this new reality of rising costs that will not stop. That way you can retire on your terms. When prices rise, there are strategies and tools that an experienced retirement planner like Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial can use to maximize your returns while maintaining minimal risk. This gives you more purchasing power to retire on your terms. Whether you want to travel, give to others, purchase property, or anything else you've worked for your whole life, Al can provide essential analysis and strategy to make sure that you're prepared for any economic changes. So that'll help you understand the exact risks and expenses and help you fit it into your plan for your future. Call Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today and get started preparing for your new reality by going to klzradio.com/money for a free consultation. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Golden Eagle Financial Limited are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents.
Cub Creek Heating and Air Conditioning. Don't forget, 25-month financing available, 0%, by the way, and you can finance a repair if needed. KLZradio.com or call 303-656-5467.
Cub Creek Heating and AC knows that solving your home's heating and cooling needs can be confusing. The energy industry can be complicated, and Cub Creek will help you navigate through it so you owe as little as possible. Denver is mostly served by a large power company, but many of the towns around it are served by smaller power companies, all with different policies and regulations. The team at Cub Creek understands these regulations so they can best advise you on what will save you the most. They walk customers through the options step by step, always keeping your overall net cost in mind. Most companies say they'll get you the biggest rebate, but sell you the most expensive equipment, so you lose money in the end. And Cub Creek isn't a commission-based company, so there's no chance you'll be upsold. They will give you all the options, and you choose how to proceed. Learn the facts and save money with Ream Pro Partners Cub Creek Heating and AC today by going to klzradio.com/HVAC.
Now, back to Rush to Reason, presented by High Five Plumbing, where every call ends with a high five.
All right, we're back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Steve House with us. And again, Steve's been with us many, many, many times. Been talking to Steve literally for, like, Steve, the last 10 years, I want to say. So
yeah,
thanks for all you've done for us, by the way. You're a great friend and friend of the shows and appreciate it very much. Question came in. What does Dr. Kelly, but we, you know, again, you and I think can answer this one, about the dengue fever? Eric Bolling touched on this on Newsmax last week. The illegals are bringing it into the country. What are your thoughts there?
Well, it's certainly not good. I mean, we're seeing not just dengue, but tuberculosis and all kinds of other stuff that's coming in. I mean, some of those, I mean, there's two big problems. One is, of course, you know, they're coming into a population that's just not used to seeing dengue.
Correct.
There was a huge COVID, a huge vaccine problem with dengue to begin with. I mean, they created a vaccine and they basically killed the immune system of 875,000 children.
Wow.
Back in 2018 when they tried to treat it with an experimental vaccine. That sounds really familiar. I mean, it really, really killed their immune system. So most of them will die young as a result of that. But when you get TB, when you get measles, when you get dengue, when you get other things that come into the country because they're coming over the border from countries where vaccination status is not the same, where they haven't wiped out polio or things like that, we are very, very vulnerable to those diseases.
So what do people need to do in regards to that? I mean, you know, we want the border closed. The border's not closed. I don't think anything's going to happen with the border, by the way, unless Texas can figure something out, and who knows what will end up happening there. You still have other areas where there's, you know, ability to cross and so on. And really, until we get into November, who knows how this really ends up. Bottom line, what do people do knowing that that's going to continue to happen for really at least until the end of the year, most likely, Steve? And I'm, you know, who knows who wins in November at this point, because I'm not confident of anything at this point.
I agree. Here's my list. Number one, get healthier. Find a way to take vitamin D, zinc, get some magnesium in your diet, eat better foods, exercise some. The healthier you are, the better your immune system is. So that's number one, because you can fight it off. Number two, limit your exposure a little bit. I mean, if you're really concerned about it and you're vulnerable, you know, don't hang out in big crowds a lot.
True.
I mean, don't spend a lot of time in the airport. I mean, those things whack me and Kelly and everybody else down. So that said, I don't think an individual can do anything about, you know, people coming into the country. The government has to deal with that.
Right.
But in reality, you know, understand it. Talk to your doctor. Ask your doctor, you know, look, am I vulnerable at my age and my current condition and my risk? Am I vulnerable if the measles hit? Am I vulnerable if dengue hits me? What do I do? How do I recognize the symptoms? You know, spend some time just understanding that and figuring out, is there something I can take? Maybe you need more vitamin C. Maybe you do need zinc and magnesium. Figure out what they are. Maybe you need to prophylactically take ivermectin. I mean, those are all possibilities. Talk to your doctor about it.
All right, so talk to your doctor, folks. Great. By the way, great answer, Steve. I can't disagree with anything along those lines. The thing I think that most people probably would struggle with would just be, you know, I get the airport side of it, but, you know, not being exposed to certain individuals, that gets really tough depending upon what your job is, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've had opportunities just recently to go on a business trip to, for example, Washington, D.C., And I'm staying out of there. You know, it's like there's certain places I just don't go right now.
Got it.
I don't go to San Francisco. I went to L.A., but I wouldn't go again. I mean, there's just areas where it's just there's too much exposure to people that, you know, are, you know, maybe are carriers of that. I'm not, you know, prejudiced against people who have sickness. But in reality, you got to protect yourself.
Good point.
So be mindful of where you're going.
All right, this one's kind of funny, but kind of not, and I know where this person's going with this. And why are the dirtiest, most misfit-looking people of society still wearing masks? It seems like they're all dirty, and even the people that are wearing them are. Now, that one I have noticed, and I can't disagree with that, and I don't know that I have an answer, because it's like, wait a minute, you're wearing a mask, and yet, no offense, I don't even want to be around you anyway, so why the mask?
You know, I mean, this is a statistical data point of one, but I saw the other day in Detroit, a person was wearing a mask with a sign panhandling at an intersection.
Okay.
And the mask said, I'm sick with COVID and I can't, or the paper said, I'm sick with COVID and I don't have the money to help myself. Please donate, right? So they wearing them for, you know, the purposes of, you know, panhandling or whatever? Maybe they are. I mean, you know, it's interesting because if you really are dirty and you haven't been around good sanitation, you know, wearing the mask is, you know, maybe that's the one thing you know. You've seen people do it, but you did it in masks. Maybe there's probably a bunch of people, John, who have no idea why they would wear a mask, let alone not wear a mask.
Good point.
So they just put one on because they found one and they decided, hey, I walked into 7-Eleven and they've got them all over the place. I'm going to grab one and put it on, but I have no idea why I'm doing it.
The other thing that I've noticed on the mask wearing end of it, and I'm sure you've seen the same thing in your travels, and I will as well and continue to see this, is the age group of those wearing them. And sad to say, Steve, it's not mostly you and I's age group. It's the, in a lot of cases, I don't know people's age exactly, but I would say under 30, maybe 35 mass or 35 max. It seems like they're the ones mostly wearing the masks, and yet if taken care of well enough, they're the least susceptible to anything.
Yeah, the death rate of people under the age of 40 or 45, or even the serious complications for people under 45 of COVID, is really low.
Nil.
You know, nobody wants to go through. Yeah, it's virtually nil. Nobody wants to go through norovirus. They don't want to go through RSV. They don't want to go through those kind of respiratory things. That's all about making your lungs stronger. I think in some regards, John, the woke group in this country tend to be on the younger side. And they're operating based on passion about an issue rather than facts and figures about the issue. So sometimes they just do it because they want to be part of something that they believe in or something that they think is a good idea. And so they jump in and do it.
All right. This is an article that came up that I don't remember if we all three sent this around or not, but this is a therapeutic manufacturing facility that, by the way, is going to be in Frederick, Colorado by 2026. $725 million. It's Agilent, I believe, is the name of the company. Mm-hmm. What do you know about that?
Agilent is a company that makes devices, medical devices. They were a spinoff of Hewlett-Packard.
Okay.
So, you know, they'll make things like monitors to do EKG monitoring or, you know, they'll do things for, you know, your pulse oximetry, all those types of things. So Agilent is a very significant player in the medical device world. I don't believe that they are a manufacturer of any pharmaceutical itself. It's always been medical devices that they've made. They even made ultrasounds and things like that at one point.
This article is talking about the nucleic acid-based therapeutics. That I know nothing about, nor have we ever talked about that.
So nucleic acids are in many cases used as agents to create contrast. So they inject you with something, and then they use a machine to look at you. Nuclear medicine has been around for many, many years. For example, if you have a heart problem, the wall of your heart will have a tendency to thicken or thin in the wrong place post a heart attack, and then it will have a hard time pumping the way it needs to. Some of those techniques are using, you know, nucleic acids and other contrast agents to see, you know, what does it look like? Is your heart wall thin? Is it too thick? Is the area that you once were using now dead, period, because you had a heart attack? So they use those contrast type agents for lots of things to indicate, and they'll use them in genomics and all kinds of things. They use them to stimulate your body to do something so then I can diagnose a problem.
275,000 square foot facility. This is big, big for Colorado. I personally, and I don't remember who sent me this, Steve, but I don't see any red flags in this whatsoever. This is bringing, you know, dollars into our economy in Colorado.
Well, Fort Collins for many, many years has had, you know, Hewlett Packard and or Agilent there as a job generator. I mean, I think it's a good thing because it is medical device. I mean, Colorado itself, you know, I've been in healthcare in all 50 states and around the world. Colorado's got a good healthcare mix. You know, there's some really good healthcare systems in the state, and they got a cross section of, you know, neuro intensive stuff. It's Swedish and Porter, and you've got, you know, hospitals for rehab, and you've got CU. There's a lot of great healthcare. Having someone like Agilent in the state working on medical stuff is a good idea because it lends to all the education that's going on in the state to begin with.
Okay, so that's all the good side of it. The only other thing I read in this article, which you and I have touched on briefly in the past with Dr. Kelly, is they also want to expand in this facility their CRISPR technologies.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be more comfortable with them, and that's in this genomic side where they're going to use nucleic acids.
Okay, really quick, for everybody listening that doesn't know, what is CRISPR? C-R-I-S-P-R. What is that?
Yeah, it's an acronym, but basically it allows anyone, effectively, to modify a gene and then insert it into mostly animals the way they've done it in the past. And, you know, you insert it into the fetus or into the, you know, the abdomen of a dog that's pregnant, and it may change the way the puppy comes out because it's really a genetic modification technique.
Okay.
And it's so documented and so relatively simple. It's certainly not simple, but it's relatively simple that people have been doing it in their garage, their basement, other things, messing around with species by using CRISPR.
Hmm. So in this particular case, this is what you're saying is, if there's anybody that's going to do it, we would want somebody like this company doing it, not some guy in his garage.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I know what they're doing because, you know, you can look at, you know, Elon Musk's goal of using neural networks to cure blindness.
Right.
Between stem cells and genetic changes in CRISPR, there's a lot of things that there are potential to fix problems. And if you've got one of those problems, like a spinal cord that's severed or blindness or deafness, it would be great. But you got to be careful that you don't go too far with it.
So these are the kind of things that we need to be paying attention to. But again, and again, in this particular facility going in up in Frederick, I don't know what the breakdown of things would be. And I don't know, Steve, I mean, this is your area. You'd be the one to figure out more of that than I, as to far as, you know, how much in each one of these divisions are they doing here in Colorado? I have no idea.
Well, I mean, this goes back to the conversation we had last week. Ask the people that are running for election.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about can they turn their phone on. Well, ask them what they understand about genetics, about genetic modification.
Do they even know what CRISPR is?
Intelligence. Do they know what CRISPR is? That's a great question. Do you know what CRISPR is? Well, you know what? It's going to be something that is affecting our daily lives, and it's something that I need them. If they're not an expert going in, they should really do some study with it. But, I mean, gosh, if you and I know about CRISPR, I mean, we probably also know a bit about hydraulics and the different things that are going on with, you know, fly-by-wire and all that other stuff. I mean, if you're going to be a politician, you got to be responsible, especially for the things that have ethical and moral challenges for a society that's being governed by people if they don't know what it is.
Instead, we've got the DOJ going after Apple for something that has, you know, antitrust when it comes to the iPhone versus all the other phones that are out there. And you look at some of the things they've got in that lawsuit, and I think to myself, Steve, these are people that literally know nothing about what they're suing over.
They don't. They're looking at a set of rules that they can use. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, corporate law has been an interesting paradigm over the last 20 years. I think we have 85% more lawyers than we did, because one of the things you can do, and think about a technology company that's playing around in a very gray area in terms of development and genomics, all you want your lawyers to do is to slow down the other side long enough for you to get the product done
and
something to have happened on a regulatory side.
Very true.
Even though you may be operating way outside of bounds, if your lawyers are good enough, you can slow it down before you end up getting in trouble, and then eventually the rules change and you're okay.
Very true.
Well, that doesn't work for me. That's just wrong.
I agree with you. Steve, as always, man, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it very much. Have a great Easter weekend, by the way, as well. Didn't talk about that much, but we head into Good Friday tomorrow on the Easter weekend. So, Lord bless you, man. I appreciate you very much.
You too, my friend. Always a pleasure.
All right, man. Take care. Have a great rest of your day and weekend. Again, up next, Veteran Windows and Doors, 45% off entry doors. Dave will put that in at his labor cost as well. Give him a call today. Find him at klzradio.com.
Veteran Windows and Doors believes you are smart to get multiple bids for your windows and doors before you sign any contract. Dave Bancroft, the owner of Veteran Windows and Doors, is confident he will surpass his peers in installation, customer service, and warranties, as well as the fairest prices. Dave hears people complain about the large window and door companies' empty promises with not servicing their needs and lack of knowledge about the products. Veteran Windows and Doors' commitment is to ensure that their customers know exactly what they are buying, from window rating and efficiency levels to real price comparisons, and they always respond to their customers within 24 hours. Wait to sign a contract until you get your final bid from Veteran Windows and Doors, and work with a company that values integrity and stands behind their work and product, guaranteed. Veteran Windows and Doors. Find them at klzradio.com/windows.
All right, Bruce Simmons, he is our reverse mortgage professor. If you've thought of a reverse mortgage, but you hear different stories, and like we were talking to with Steve, by the way, Steve House, make sure that these stories are correct and applicable to you, and that's where Bruce comes into play. Bruce Simmons, 303-467-7821.
A reverse mortgage can make sense for you if you are properly prepared. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, can help make sure you are ready. Many things you do not need to do first, like paying your bills off first or making certain repairs. And sometimes you will need to shore up some things on the home title or a repair that Bruce knows will be needed for the appraisal. The point is, you can be prepared for a reverse mortgage and move now rather than waiting. In an interest rate increasing environment, acting quicker rather than later puts more money in your pocket. Call Bruce Simmons for a free consultation at 303-467-7821. That's 303-467-7821. Or schedule online now at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
K&R Home Transition. Stress is a big deal when it comes to buying and selling of a home. And in the case of K&R, they've got both sides of the aisle covered, whether it be the financial side or what do you actually do in the purchase as far as staging and all of those things are concerned. K&R is there to help you through all of that. Catherine and Robin, 720-437-8210.
Catherine and Robin with K&R know how to make you the most money on the sale of your home. A recent client told them that he saw how hard they worked for someone else in his neighborhood, the open houses, their research digging deep on home valuations in that area, and the way that they presented the house to potential buyers. He knew that they just get it. Kat and Robin are creative, and they are hard-nosed when they need to protect you from another realtor or problem person. Having two sets of expertise and individual strengths helps maximize what your home can sell for. They watch the contractor making a fix on your home, and they check out the home inspection items that don't seem quite right. Catherine knows how to present the home well and maximize the relationships. Robin will slay the dragon, and anyone who stands in the way of selling your home should be very afraid. You need the Real Estate Protectors, Catherine and Robin from K&R Home Transitions. Contact Catherine and Robin today at klzradio.com/home or call them at 720-437-8210.
Ridgeon Auto Brokers, two locations to service you now, one in Boulder and the other one up in Fort Collins. Plenty of cars, by the way, to take care of you. So if you're looking for a new used car, they've got good inventory. And if you want to get your vehicle fixed, they can do that at both locations as well. Find them at RidgelineAutoBrokers.com.
Are you in the market for a reliable car that won't break the bank? Do you need high-quality auto repair? Then look no further. Ridgeline Auto Brokers specializes in quality used cars that cost between $15,000 and $25,000, making them a great option for first-time drivers or anyone looking for a good deal. At Ridgeline, we pride ourselves on providing a transparent and hassle-free car buying experience. That's why we never charge any dealer fees. Plus, all of our vehicles are inspected by our team of ASE certified technicians. You can trust that the car you're buying is in excellent condition And remember, we can also service your vehicle after the sale. At Ridgeline, we offer competitive financing options for vehicle purchase or for vehicle repairs. Ridgeline now has two locations, one in Boulder, and now a second location in Fort Collins, located at 1101 North College Avenue. Both locations offer full-service auto repair and a host of off-road accessories. Check out all our services at RidgelineAutoBrokers.com. Ridgeline, the smart way to buy or service your car.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. That'll be it for this hour. And again, if you ever miss anything during this hour, you can always go back and listen online, rushtoreason.com. You can also hear this hour in its entirety between 6 and 7 p.m. tonight. We'll be right back, though. Hour 2 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.